Scripture reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 15, as we continue working our way through this Gospel. We've come to the 15th chapter. This morning we will consider verses 1 through 6. Hear God's Word. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean, because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. This is the word of the living God. Beloved in the Lord, in this passage of Scripture, Jesus has already told his disciples he was leaving them. The 14th chapter of the Gospel records that marvelous passage where he says to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." And he told them he was going to go away, and he told them what he was going to do when he was going to leave them. He was going to prepare a place for them, but he was also going to send the Spirit to indwell them. As we turn now to the 15th chapter, in this upper room discourse, we find the Lord Jesus telling the disciples what they are to do while he is away. And the heart of this passage is that they are to abide in him so that they bear much fruit. The main theme of this 15th chapter and the opening verses is that believers will bear fruit in their spiritual lives by abiding or by remaining in union and communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord gives us in these verses an extended metaphor of the vine and the branches, something that would be utterly familiar to the disciples, familiar not only because of their location, but familiar because of their background and their understanding of the Old Testament scripture. Isaiah the prophet in his 5th chapter speaks of Israel as God's vineyard. Psalm 80, which we read earlier, has a reference to Israel as being the vine or the vineyard of God. Jesus, against that background, says to his disciples, "I am the vine, you are the branches." He is the embodiment of whatever the vine would be, and as we see it in this passage, it will be the relationship of the vine and the branch, and the vine is, of course, the source of all life to the branches that are attached to the vine. And he says, "You are the branches, you'll be dependent upon me," that is the vine. All branches must be connected to the vine and derive all of their life and their strength from it. The vine and the branch in this passage is a vital picture of union between Jesus and his people. And there are several things that he would tell us about that relationship in this passage. And the first, of course, is the very opening words where he says, "You must abide in me." Every believer is to maintain a fellowship of union and communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find it in that word that he uses, "abide in me." In fact, that word appears 15 times in the first 10 verses of this very chapter. Abiding, what does it mean? Well, abiding expresses fellowship with Christ, union with Christ, oneness with him, enjoying a common life that's shared by all who are joined together with him, as branches are joined together with a vine. But there are other things that we can learn from this illustration of the vine and the branches. And the first is probably the most important. It's not a natural thing that the branches are in the vine. In this illustration, at least, they are grafted on. As Paul will tell us in another place, we who are not Israel are grafted on to the vine, to the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. The branches are attached to the vine, and because a branch is attached to the vine or grafted on, it derives all of its nourishment, all of its power, all of its strength from its relationship to the vine and to the root. We have been grafted on to the true vine. Jesus is that true vine. He is the source of all of our strength. When he says in this passage, "I am the true vine," he is saying he is the embodiment of all that a vine is, just as he said, "I am the good shepherd." He embodies everything that that a shepherd is all about. He is the embodiment of what a vine should be, the source of life to all of its branches. And branches don't have any strength, any source of life, if they are not hooked together or attached to the vine. But once attached to the vine, that branch receives everything that it needs. And when we are grafted onto Christ, when we are attached to Jesus Christ, when we become a part of the family of God, and by faith in Jesus Christ, we are a part of Him, we have all that we need. The vine and the branches. The illustration would not be lost to His disciples. You recall that they would often go through a place called the Garden of Gethsemane. What would you find in that garden? A great deal of vines and branches. Israel was a place where vineyards were everywhere. People would know what you were talking about when you used the illustration of vine and branches. As I said, theologically, they would know what you were talking about when you talk about the illustration of vine and branches, because God had made it a popular illustration all throughout the Old Testament, whether it's Isaiah 5, Jeremiah 2, Psalm 80, all throughout the Old Testament, there is an illustration in the vine and the branches of that spiritual relationship between God and His people and their complete and absolute dependence upon Him as the source of all life. Because every believer is grafted on by grace and depends on God for everything. And that fellowship is accomplished by the almighty power of God. We're saved by grace. We're grafted on by grace. It's by grace that God has come to us in our sin. And it's by grace that He has opened our hearts and our understanding to the gospel. And it's by grace that He plucks us out of sin and the bondage and the darkness of sin and brings us into the fellowship and the light of the truth of the gospel. And that grafting on by grace, making us a part of the vine, enables us then to have an inseparable communion and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the most important aspects of this extended illustration that Jesus gives of the vine and the branches is to remember how entirely dependent we are upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Because branches depend on the vine. If you separate that branch for a moment from a vine, it's going to end up dying. It needs to be attached. Now, I know that you ladies like to get flowers, but what's the problem with those flowers? They're nice when they're freshly cut, but they're freshly cut. They aren't going to last long. They eventually get thrown out into the garbage. Now, you wouldn't think for a moment of getting those red roses or whatever flowers they were, and when you receive them, go, "Oh, they're cut flowers, throw them in the garbage." Oh, you put them in the vase, and you put the little sugar in the water, because that's supposed to help them, you know, last a little bit longer. But no matter how you do it, no matter what you do, there's going to come a day when those flowers do this. And then they kind of get a little yucky looking. And you say, it's time to do what? They go out. Why? Because once those flowers have been severed or cut from the stem, the source of life that they need is gone. That's a picture of you and I. We need to be grafted on to the Lord Jesus Christ and draw all of our vitality and life from Him. And that's what it means in this passage, to abide in Him. But also, Jesus speaks of the Heavenly Father in this passage. And notice that He says, I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. And there are a number of things that He says, beginning at verse 2, that the vine dresser does. And what this verse tells us as we look at verse 2 is that every believer is the object of the Father's tender care, because that's exactly what the vine dresser is doing. He is expressing His tender, loving care for each and every branch that is attached to the vine. And just as the Old Testament referred to Israel as God's vineyard, the Father is still tending and He is still caring for His people, His Israel today, which is the people of God. In this passage, Jesus calls Him the cultivator, if you will, the one who cares for the vineyard. And the first thing it says is that He takes every branch that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And that one bears some investigation. First of all, that has generally been understood to mean that He takes away a dead branch and He tosses it into the pile and it eventually gets burned up. Well, that's not necessarily the case in this verse. Now, that would match up with the theology that's expressed later when it does speak about the branches that are burned up and so on and so forth. But I have a suspicion that Dr. James Boyce is correct when he translates this verse differently. Dr. Boyce said that this Greek word has four general meanings, and I checked that he was right. The meaning of the word that's used here when it says take up or lift up could be either lift up, like you would lift up something off of the ground, lift it up figuratively, and that word is used, the same word is used many times, such as in a passage where it says, and He lifted up His eyes and He looked. That's a second way in which that word is used. It's also used to mean lift up and carry away, like you would take your suitcases, I suppose, and go through the gate to the airplane, or simply to remove. Most have translated it to remove and to discard, simply because it agrees with what comes later in the passage. But I think that the rule of interpretation, which has been the rule of interpretation for years, where we say context determines the meaning, context in this particular place would enable us to give a better translation to this word when we would not have the sense that it is removal and burning up, but that simply the Father lifts it up, that branch. What branch? The branch that's on the ground. He lifts it up. And why would that be a better translation? Well, first of all, when you lift up a branch off of the ground, you're putting it in a better place, so that it might become fruitful. Because if the branch is on the ground, it is not going to be fruitful. Branches on vines, and for grapes and other things like it, are meant not to be on the ground, but to be hanging. And so if we translate it this way, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He lifts it up, with the idea of putting it in a better place, it agrees with the context of what the care of the Heavenly Father is all about. It agrees with the parable and the work that He does. It illumines the work of the vine dresser, because if He lifts up a branch with care, it's so that that branch might be in a better place to produce fruit. It gives a proper understanding to the sequence of actions that take place in this passage. Notice that it says every branch that does not bear fruit, He lifts up, and every branch that does not bear fruit, He prunes. See, it's the same branches, but the branches that He prunes is not thrown away. The branch is pruned. So there's a process. First He lifts it up, then He prunes it, and He cleans it. Most importantly, that translation would better suit the meaning of the verse, which begins, every branch in me. Because this is a verse that is often used to say, oh, see, you can be saved and lost. Because if you're a branch in Christ, that's a believer, here's a place where some would suggest, oh, he takes in, he gets rid of them, they're burned. Well, that's not the case if you translate it properly. He is speaking of those who are in him. What is it that God the Father does to those who are in Christ? He does everything to make them productive and fruitful for the kingdom of God. It's not talking about a saving relationship that can be broken. It's talking about an unfruitful branch that can be tended, that can be cared for, that can be improved and made to be what it was made to be in the first place, a branch that produces fruit. The second thing that the Father does to demonstrate his faithful care is that he cleanses the branch. Some translations purges, but it's cleansing. And the cleansing is the cleansing that comes by the word. Notice that that's what this passage says and agrees with all of the word of God. In the 17th chapter of John's gospel, turn there briefly if you have your Bible open. Jesus, in his high priestly prayer, says this: sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. How does sanctification, how does God make us holy? He makes us holy by the application of the word of truth. In the 5th chapter of Ephesians, Paul speaks about Christ and the church and the husband and the wife. It's a great passage that illustrates marriage. But notice in Ephesians 5 that it says that the bride in that passage is made holy by the washing of the word. The way in which a Christian is going to become more fruitful is by the Heavenly Father's purging or cleansing us by the word. And that agrees with the Old Testament, where the psalmist says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Cleansed by the word of God and the power of the word, we are enabled to become more fruitful. It should make us pause and ask ourselves, what are we doing with the word of God? How actively involved are we in the study of the truth of the word of God, the very means by which Christ asks the Father, John 17, to sanctify his people, the very means by which God enables us to be more fruitful. He cleanses that branch by the word so that it is fruitful and more productive. And then, as we go on, he says, not only does he cleanse, but he prunes, and with a view or purpose that it may bear more fruit. The three things that the Father does in this passage is he lifts up that branch, he puts it in a better position to be fruitful, he cleanses by the word that branch so that it may be in a better position to be fruitful, but he also prunes it. Now, pruning hurts. Think about it. It hurts. Pruning, however, is for the purpose of making more fruit. The pruning that God does in your life isn't because God is angry at you, isn't because God wants to see you suffer, but the pruning that takes place in your life, whatever form it takes, is so that you might be more fruitful. Why does God send us trials? James the Apostle in his epistle tells us that God sends trials our way. Why does God send them? So that your faith may be pruned, if you will, or made more pure and holy. That the trial of your faith, which is much more precious than gold, might come forth in the harvest of righteousness. All of the trials, all of the suffering, all of the things that God directs into our paths, all of the difficulties that our Father directs our way are for the singular purpose of causing us to be more fruitful. And our trials should drive us to our God in prayer. Our trials and those things which God sends our way should drive us to Him, the source of grace. Our trials should call us to a deeper study of the Word of God so that we would know what it is that God purposes for us, that He might show us our hearts, that He might make us more humble, that He might cause us to be more dependent upon Him and His all-sufficient grace. The Christian must go through a rather painful process, a pruning process, in order to become all that God wants them to be. Sin in our lives must be put behind us. We must endure difficulties, and we must overcome, and we can only overcome in the power of grace. And thankfully, that's the work of our Heavenly Father. We can turn to Him at any time, and in the midst of our struggle and those trials, our Heavenly Father has promised through that word of Christ, "My grace is sufficient for thee." What is it that God puts in your way that He will not also enable you to endure? He will not also enable you to overcome? By grace, everything comes by His sovereign hand, whether it's illness, persecution, or the consequences of sin. That pruning process must go on and on, because God is in the business of continually pruning and transforming us into the likeness of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the tender, faithful care of the Heavenly Father, which every believer experiences. But thirdly, every believer is not only to abide in Christ and to be the object of the fatherly care. The third thing is, every believer is called to abide in Christ in order that he might bear fruit. Look with me again at verse 5. "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit." Even the extended passage beyond where we have stopped in our reading over and over and over emphasizes the singular goal of the life of a believer. It is to bear fruit. That's why we abide in Christ. We abide in Him in that close and intimate communion with the Savior for the very purpose of bearing fruit for the glory of God. The New Testament in particular calls repentance towards God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, holiness of life and conduct, calls these things the fruit that our lives evidence, or if you will, the distinguishing marks of the Christian in whom God's grace is operative. The Christian must have a vital relationship with Christ in order to be fruitful. Fake branches won't do it. You can't take those roses that you got, ladies, I hope some of you did somewhere along the line, and you can't put them back so that, you know, you can't do anything. Once they're severed, they're severed. But praise God, He grafts us onto the vine. And His process of grafting always takes. And when He grafts us onto the vine and we become part of Jesus Christ, He puts us into that position whereby the strength of Christ, we're able to bear fruit in our lives for the glory of God and live for the glory of God. That's the purpose for which God has made us and called us. And that grace in our lives is never idle. A living member of the Lord Jesus Christ always demonstrates his union and communion with Christ by bearing fruit. If we're not bearing fruit, it should cause us to pause and ask ourselves, are we in the vine? Are we receiving the vital sap, strength, the nourishment, the grace that we need in order to equip us to do the thing that we've been made for, glorifying God? The Bible says every tree is known by its fruit. What does our life look like? Are we evidencing by our fruit that we belong to Christ, that we are in Christ, that we are joined to Him, that we are abiding in Him. Christ says in this passage, abide in me and bear fruit. And then He says at the very end of the verse that we've read, apart from me, you can do nothing. What a strong warning it is. We're impotent, powerless, nothing apart from Christ. Severed from Christ, you cannot bear fruit. You are as lifeless as a branch that has been cut off from a stem, a flower that's removed and put in a vase. It will wither, it will die. We need Christ. So important are those words of Christ. Abide in me. Why? Because there's a great work to be done to serve Christ. You may attempt to do it, but if you do it without dependence upon Christ, it will not be accomplished. The inevitable result of trying to do things apart from Jesus Christ is failure. But on the other hand, this verse is a great encouragement because we know that if we abide in Christ, if we are connected to Him in vital union and communion with Him, as Paul says in Philippians, we can say too, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Beloved in the Lord, abide in Christ. The only way to do so is by that vital faith and communion with Him, resting in His Word. May God grant it for His glory. Amen. Let us pray.